Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And lest I forget it, in old times I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. We're going to open the monologue today with just a little brief intro by simply giving some statistical data and some challenges for the election in November 3rd. We're going to talk about today, a divided nation cannot stand. And we find that directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26 in specificity. But I want us to talk about it from the standpoint of what we see, what we know, and what is taking place in America today. One of the illustrations in that division is what we've just experienced in our primary election here in the state of Florida, five or six, seven other states across America, just on Tuesday. And may I say to you, we see a division that I believe is very, very visible. Let me just simply put it this way. In Duval County alone, you could take the top three churches, whatever name, whatever denomination you want to call it, the top three largest churches in our city. And if just the majority, 80-90% in each of those congregations claiming to be saved, if just that number had bothered to vote, Paul Renner would be the governor-elect for the state of Florida. And you could take that setting and look at it across the state of Florida. About 20% voted in the Duval County, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 or 13% actually voted. We're looking at about 10% or less of the population of Duval County. I'm simply trying to get us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot sit it out. We cannot just simply say, we're leaving. As one dear friend of mine, when I was emailing him and text messaging him several things in relationship to the vetting that I'd done of the candidates, and he made a statement, we shouldn't do anything to say anything against any Republican candidate, because we need to make sure that the Republican candidate wins. And his final statement was, well, we're going to leave all of that up to God. It's in God's hands. And I email back, no. You misunderstand our responsibility. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar, give unto God that which is God's. The Bible says, God, we're responsible to God for our being salt and light in society. We're responsible to God for our volitional choices and decisions. Yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God is on the throne. Yes, God is still in control. Yes, God is still God. He's not sick. He's not on vacation. He's not dead, as was said in the 60s. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a responsibility, volitional choice. We're going to talk about that today because the Lord Jesus himself says a divided nation cannot stand. And we need to ask the question, do we want to see a continuum of the constitutional republic known as the United States of America, or are we willing to surrender it to the socialist, Marxist, communists that call themselves Democrats today? I believe it's a very clear, definitive choice that we must make. We're going to look at several prominent issues that vivify the divisiveness in our nation today. And unless we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots recognize that division is there, and we must pray, vet the candidates, seek God's face, and vote, we're going to lose our constitutional republic. November 3rd is going to be a definitive day a day that we make the decision on what kind of America we really want. And it's my prayer that we can continue to have a constitutional republic. It's my prayer that we'll have a nation where we can pray without being fearful. It's my prayer that we'll have a nation that we can still have a church, we can still have a Bible, we can still publish and broadcast Christian broadcast and Christian news, and we can pray publicly without fear of being beheaded, as in every Islamic nation around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the Truth Book, John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a very profound statement in that regard. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, truth is not just picked up on the sidewalk. Truth is not picked up in the Democrat Party. Truth is not picked up in the socialist, Marxist, communist relationship. Truth is not found in the Republican Party. Truth is found in that which is called the Word of God. John 17:17, the scripture clearly says, "Thy word is truth." It doesn't just contain truth, it is truth. It is the bastion of truth. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." Further in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So regardless of what nations do, regardless of what political parties do, regardless of what the pundits say, regardless of what the platitudes may say, the truth is still truth, and we need to stick to the truth and not deviate from it. But we find the secularist George Orwell made a statement in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that to be factual, especially when you get into debates about theological doctrinal truth, when you get into debates, arguments, a conversation, a communication about political issues. You find today there's an argument in relationship to and a debate about truth. Some of that debate is whether or not Islam is dangerous. Some of that debate is whether or not the Socialist Marxist Communist Party should have a rulership goal, a main leadership role in the U.S. House and the Senate. That debate and conversation is looked at on the basis that if you want a constitutional republic, if you want to stick to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, there's something wrong with you. I'm here to announce that is the source book of truth. And yet we find, looking at a headline, "Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth." 55% of the millennials in America today, and you find that's the age group, the category, ladies and gentlemen, that just got through with some of the voting across America, that's willing to vote for socialist, Marxist, communist. In fact, you find that in South Florida, where an avowed Marxist, socialist, communist, called DSA, Democratic Socialist of America, just won her seat in the primary to face off with one of our conservatives in the general election. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that wrote in part, "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but from a Christian conservative patriot, that's frightening to me. That is disconcerting to realize that permeates the churches also, and it does. As I said in a pre-monologue just a moment ago, if Christians in the state of Florida, those that call themselves Christians in the state of Florida, had simply voted, we would have a different governor-elect for the state of Florida. Now, I don't know what the future holds in the November election with the governor-elect that was just elected on Tuesday, but it's my most humble opinion that there's going to be an uphill battle to preserve the state of Florida as a red state as a result of the decision that was made for the primary. and the one that was elected in the primary. I'm not going to get into the minutiae of calling names and talking about why. I did enough of that before the election. We need to understand what we've just done as a state. We need to recognize that what happened was as a result of apathy and a sense of lethargy and a sense of, I'll just sit this one out. A lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, will not vote in the primary and think, well, I'll just wait and see who to vote for in November in the general election. Many times in the general election, we've already whittled it down to those that ought not to be in the position of being in the general election. And it's because, as I've said for less than 100 years, we need to vet the candidates as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We need to pray and participate in the election process. God's given us that responsibility. Not an option, it's a responsibility if we're going to be salt and light in a decaying, dying, darkened society. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer that made this statement. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my position, ladies and gentlemen. It's my plea each and every day that that would be what we would do. Seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and defend it. Even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find a home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just another brief moment. We'll take our first caller. But I believe we're living in a day and time where we're witnessing the fragmentation, the divisiveness in our society. We hear our politicians offering, as I've said, the platitudes without a plan. They're not offering real plans to secure our liberties, to secure or give us guarantee of our freedoms as we find in our Constitution. We're noticing today there is not offered a cure for the broken ethical, moral foundations in our nation. Our nation is suffering the destruction, the evisceration of our foundation. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm reminded, ladies and gentlemen, of the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, and time won't allow us, I've thumbed through it fresh and anew this morning, time won't allow us to get into verse after verse, but simply we could capitalize with the capitalization of the theme of the thought for the book of Judges, is where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that we're at that point today? We're drifting further and further and further away from our founding fathers' vision of what they believed America should be, what we have found for 250 years America's really being. Ladies and gentlemen, today we see the so-called Democrat Party with the socialist communist at the helm. Even in the so-called red states, we find socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat gaining momentum and number. So just what do they offer? What do these socialist, Marxist, communist, jihadists offer America that would cause a citizen of America to vote for them? Now that's the thing that's consternation for me. But yet when I realize that most of those that are voting today have credentials from prestigious universities, $150,000 to $250,000 to get the credential, and that credential is not worth the paper it's written on as the real economic production and job capabilities, and those same individuals that vote are angry at the capitalistic system, they're angry at the Constitutional Republic, and feel that somehow, some way, the utopian idea of everything free and everybody being equal is the goal. May I remind you, in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Acts in the King James Bible, we find that that was attempted and it failed. We find in that text, ladies and gentlemen, that people were willing to work and provide, and folks would sit around the table, Youngblood paraphrased edition, sit around the table and enjoy the food and not help in the production of that food. That's the essence of socialism. First century church found it didn't work. In fact, everybody needs to work, according to Apostle Paul in his writings. If you don't work, if you're not willing to work, you ought not to eat, was one of the themes that Paul brought out. I believe it's in the Thessalonian text. But ladies and gentlemen, the point being, a divided nation cannot stand. We're going to get into the minutiae, some of the details of five or six, seven different areas that America is totally divided. And then the question is going to be asked and begged to be answered, what shall we do? How should we then live? What should the Christian conservatives and patriots do in the recognition that we are divided as a nation and realizing that the Lord Jesus himself said, a divided nation cannot stand. Jesus didn't say it may stand, didn't say it may fall, but he said it cannot stand. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. If you have a Christian friend that votes independent, or in other words, no party affiliation, how would you address that? Because Florida being a closed primary, I'll start with that. The second thing is I'm fairly well-read. I read Paul Renner's platform. I agree with the man 100% on everything that he said and what he was going to do. But you have a problem where outside of the truth, I heard him on your program speak, and I also heard him on an earlier morning program from a pastor out of Fernandina. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
He spoke on that show. Outside of that, I heard or saw very little. I travel around Jacksonville quite a bit at my job. I only saw like three or four polling stations that had up the Paul Renner sign. Byron Donalds himself, by refusing to debate, pulled the Biden act, sat in the basement, basically. The media never picked up on Paul Renner. So how is a Christian, how should Christians react to the bias of the media in regards to them being the kingmaker? And I have something to say about the Miami-Dade election there. Given the two candidates, Eric Venman, who in my opinion is a traitor, and
well,
Angie Nixon.
If I could jump in, Jim, I believe President Trump had the right. He called him a slime ball, and I believe that was a pretty good identification for him. I watched some of his lies when they were trying to impeach President Trump in the first impeachment attempt, and Venman lied, and it was proven later that he was very deceptive in his witness statements that was against Trump. Go ahead with your thought.
Well, I don't know who's the worst of the two there. You're looking at two individuals that the sum of them together wouldn't equal an average Democrat, or at least a Kennedy-era Democrat, but not even that. I'm just going to say the average today Democrat. Venman, I've spent time in uniform, and for that man to have stood in the halls of the House of Representatives in his uniform and say the things that he did, his commander-in-chief was Trump. He should have never been allowed to ever grace those halls or say anything. That man should be in Leavenworth, in my opinion, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
Absolutely. Let's jump back to preliminary statements you made at the beginning.
Yes, sir.
In reference to the Renner campaign, Paul Renner was operating off of thousands of dollars. Byron Donald had over $100 million in his account. That $100 million came from dark money, deep pocketed, people that wanted the flock cameras, people that want the data centers in the state of Florida, funded his campaign by the hundreds of millions. He swept some of that money from his national campaign for his federal seat over into his campaign for the state funding for his state seat to run for governor. he had mega dollars. He felt that he didn't have to leave the Biden basement to run the campaign. Most of it was high-profile Madison Avenue production television. Paul Renner, on the other side, as a Christian, conservative, patriotic candidate, having been there, done that, knows what to do, how it should be done, but from a Christian, conservative, patriot, he was focusing on, and he did this across the state, focusing on Christians, churches, Christian organizations, and he was on the networks here in Jacksonville several, I would say minimum of a dozen times, and there were ads for him many, many places on the network, radio networks, where you could get reasonable purchase of ad productions. He had high profile. Here's the bottom line. He was speaking mostly to an audience of conservative Christian patriots that should have been interested in seeing his candidacy win. But they were swayed by an endorsed candidate, endorsed by our president, of whom I have a lot of respect for. But with that endorsement, I have major questions why that was done. I've got some summations in my own mind, and I verbalized them privately. I will not do it on the air, that I think was the modus operandi and the motive for Trump's endorsement. But nevertheless, the Christian conservative patriots here in Duval County did not vote. When I say did not vote, no, I'm not talking about a sum total of zero, but a sum total of negligible numbers. And then getting back to the primary, I believe we need to have a primary where it is an open primary so conservatives can vote, Christians can vote, Republicans can vote, Democrats can vote, the DSA can vote, and also the independents. Where you have a closed primary, it makes it pretty difficult for those that are considered independents, as you spoke of, to have a place at the table to make a decision in the primary. But we're at a point now, Paul, Jim, where we need to look forward as to what's going to happen on November the 3rd. It's a little over, or just about 80 days from now. 80 days from now, Christians, conservatives, and patriots hold the key. Hear me. We hold the key for the destiny of America. You could take any three of the major churches, what's called the mega churches in Duval County. Take the top three. I don't care the brand name. Take the top three. If just those in those churches that claim they're saved had voted for Paul Renner, he would be the governor-elect today. We had a very low turnout in Duval County. We had a very high turnout in the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat vote, and an average turnout for the Republican, what we'd call Republican conservative vote. And on a statewide basis, I think the number was like 22% of those that were registered voters that voted. We are sitting back in a lackadaisical, nonchalant mindset, and we're witnessing the Constitutional Republic being eviscerated. That's my position. That's my proclamation. That's my statement. And based on what we've just seen in the primary, then it comes to mind Ezekiel 33:10, the question that was asked, what shall we then do? What should be our response? How should we respond to that? And I think we need to double down on prayer, vetting the candidates, and making sure that we vote on November the 3rd. We're looking at things today, Jim, that I believe face us, that lest we are mindful of that we will replay what we saw in the primary on November 3rd. If that happens, we've lost it nationally, and we will lose our Constitutional Republic. In fact, I'm looking at an article. I'll get your take on it, then let you go. The headline says, "Why are they in your schools? Conservatives thrown out of school board meeting for reading aloud from sexually explicit books in the school library." A Texas conservative activist is suing the Houston Independent School District after the school board removed her from the meeting simply for reading sexually explicit passages from a textbook available at the school. She lives in Texas Hill County, has attended multiple school board meetings to show trustees the books containing sexually explicit material that are available to the school libraries and school children that should be removed. During the March 26 Houston ISD school board meeting, Wallace addressed the school board public comments and said that she was reading from a book currently available in the school's district. Wallace began reading verbatim, and it gives the title of the books, which I'm not going to read on the air, began to read verbatim from the romance novel filled with sexually explicit content trustees issued multiple warnings that she should not continue to read from the book because of the material that she's reading. And I won't go on, but further state that, Jim, she was simply reading verbatim from the textbooks. And she was saying, if it is not fit to be read publicly at a school board meeting, why are our kids having them in the schools? And yet we have a divisiveness in America today where the Socialist Marxist Communist Democrat Party on the left say that it's okay. They're fighting every city, every state, every part of the nation where there's an attempt to remove the garbage, the LGBTQ sodomite, the DEI garbage material, sexually explicit material from the books. The ones on the left are saying it's okay, leave it alone. And on the conservative Christian patriotic standpoint, we're saying, no, it's not. We need to remove it. That's part of the divisiveness that we see. So, Jim, one final question with that being the basic material being laid out for you to think. What should we do? This is not going to go away. It's not going to be something that's going to evaporate because we say nothing. It's going to take Christians to stand up and speak up and be heard and be seen. So what would your comments be if we're looking at that as part of the division in our nation?
Complex question there.
Yes.
Mine normally are. Reading. Yeah. There was a segment in there, you hit it dead on the nail there. They were offended sitting on the board listening to a woman read that which was available to a child. There should have been a poster behind her with the Matthew verse that says, whosoever shall hurt one of these little ones there, it would be better if they had a millstone hung from their neck and thrown into the sea. The hypocrisy for a board to prejudice against a woman who is doing the right and decent thing is astounding, and it seems that litigation is the only way to get these individuals' attention, and they need to be voted out, so the community as a whole needs to come together, because politics starts at the local level, and that means your dog catcher and your school board and your mayors and everybody else.
Absolutely. So. Yes, yes, yes. And one of the things, Jim, that plays into that is from the Socialist Marxist Communist freebie Walters on the left. They say there ought not to be any restraints. There should be everything. In fact, they're saying free child care, free health care, free housing, free bar, no borders. The House and the Senate needs to be removed. No police, no prisons. And yet that utopian plan has not worked for centuries for any other nation. But somehow, some way, the youngsters in America today think that they can make it work. I've listened to so many of them when they speak that it sounds like they have such an open mind, their brains have fallen out when they make statements. And I'm concerned about that element today that's undermining, eviscerating our nation's morals, ethics, and values. And that's part of it with the textbook that I just talked about. Jim, thank you so much for your call. And it deserves, what we say, it, that which we've just watched in the election, we deserve, it deserves our attention and recognition that it's coming up now, about 80 days from now, for us to do a replay on what needs to be done to protect our nation. So, Jim, thank you for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, a divided nation cannot stand. We see divisiveness on every hand. Divisiveness and the social issues, the just like we spoke of a moment ago with our caller in relationship to the textbooks. Textbooks in our classrooms. We have right here in Duval County a move to remove the pornographic textbooks, and yet we have those on the left that's in some of the leadership of the unions for our school teachers that's demanding that it be left alone. Do not take the books out. It is censoring, as they call it. It's not censorship. It's removing garbage from the classrooms for our youngsters that they won't have to read. This is the reason we need to recognize the danger. Ladies and gentlemen, we can take the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more,
I was watching that. I wanted to tap your finger and say, don't.
EDU. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkestone. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CQ, Jacksonville. WTRJ, the truth.
That's hard.